T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
You know, my family, I have a girlfriend that's pregnant, coming, baby girl coming soon. My son has a little asthma. My dad, you know, he's 75 years old. So I just felt like this was the best decision, you know, for my family to, you know, keep everyone safe. You know, I don't think it's fair to them, you know, so I just decided to do that. And, you know, just it's not over. It's just postponed a little bit.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Jermaine Wiggins is in the house with us as we broadcast live from our Shaw's and Star Market studios. That was Patriot safety Patrick Chung on CBS This Morning earlier today, explaining why he was one of 6 New England Patriots who chose to opt out yesterday. I saw a report on Twitter within the last hour or so that the Patriots are not expecting to have any other players opt out at this point. And that goes back to what Tom Curran told us yesterday, Rich, that basically Bill said, look, do what you got to do, make your decision, but at least do me the favor of making it by this date so I know what I got to deal with here.
Yeah, because I think that's really, you know, in the best interest of the team. And I think these guys still want to be good teammates. And the best thing you can do if you choose not to play is make that decision early on in the process, so they know who is going to be committed to the team. They can start to build the roster. They can also sign, you know, guys back that they want. They can go out and get free agents or whatever it's going to take. So I don't think anybody in the Patriots organization is going to have a single problem with any of the 6 guys that chose to walk away for the season. But I think a big part of that is because of the timing. You know, you don't want to get 2 weeks into camp and then say, you know what, I'm pulling the plug, or even play the first game of the regular season and say, man, this is not what I thought. Because there's going to be issues. Issues are going to pop up throughout the season. Baseball's dealing with it now. You know, basketball and hockey are about to kind of get into it. And I'm sure 2 weeks in, it's going to be a little bit different than they thought. But you have to be prepared to adjust. And so, yeah, yesterday was really the day where all these Patriots made their decisions. And I would be surprised if all of a sudden we got another 6 names, you know, between now and the weekend.
For the Patriots.
Yeah. Other teams, sure.
You'll get other names, just not here.
I don't think so.
I think guys like, you know, we just heard from Patrick Chung, they look at the situation around them. Most of them, it's going to be because, all right, what's my family situation? Do I got a newborn? Do I have kids that have asthma? Do I live with, you know, my dad, my mom? Right. How old is she? So I think that's what you're going to get. But you look at it like this. There's thousands of guys out there that are like, hey, if you don't want to play, I'll
opportunity.
Play.
It's right? An opportunity.
So
for a lot of guys.
It's gonna be, you know, one man's loss is a, you know, in this case is 1,000 guys gain.
Well, think about it. We talked about how, you know, the rosters to start camp or whatever camp is now goes from 90 to 80 as part of some of the precautions. And we're talking
some
about
some teams have stuck with the 90. Patriots went right to 80 immediately.
They went right to 80. Yeah, some were probably smart to do so because they're like, let's see what happens here with some of our guys opting out. But that's another opportunity. A lot of these guys that have decided to not play, like, you know, Eddie Goldman, I would say at least 3 or 4 of the Patriots and a few others were clear cut. They were going to have a job, starters in the league.
Yeah.
And now they're out, and that's going to sort of allow for opportunities for other guys to both play and then also just make a roster.
And you're seeing guys, a lot of guys that are opting out, that they have guaranteed money that they know they're just pushing off until next year, right?
Although in Chung's case, I mean, I don't know if you'll ever see him in a uniform again, Wig. He technically is under contract through 2024. with everything getting pushed back a year, but I really wonder if you'll ever see him again.
Right, and how much of that money is guaranteed, right?
So I don't think any of it is
right,
at this point.
Right, so the reason why I bring that up, I think it was the defensive tackle in Buffalo, right? He had like
Lotulelei.
Yeah, he had like $4 million guaranteed, and all it is pushed back till next year. So maybe he looks at it like this year, maybe I have some issues, or maybe the season's cut short and I'm only be able, you know, if I play this year, I only get $2.5 million on my $4 million, where at least next year, if I push it back, I get the whole thing. So you'll see guys with guaranteed money, and then you'll see some guys that have, you know, family situations, but there'll be plenty of guys out there that want to play, that this is an opportunity for them. And I don't think you'll see a ton of big, big name players.
So this was interesting. So one of Lotulelei's teammates in Buffalo, Jonathan Feliciano, he tweeted out, the reason a lot of players are opting out, he says, besides health reasons, is if you have a lot of guaranteed money this year and mm-hmm. the season gets canceled, they risk losing a lot of money.
Yeah. So they push it back till next year. Right. That's what I said. Yeah, so right. If you got $4 million guaranteed this year and you only play 8 games, you're only getting $2 million, and where's that other $2 million?
Yeah,
you're not getting that because you don't play. Because
I certainly don't doubt that. And again, there's a growing list. Is it up to like 16, 17, or whatever it is, like around the league? Again, most of them Patriots, but mm-hmm. there are plenty of other guys as well. And you know, money's always going to be a factor. I'm sure there's plenty of guys that health is first and foremost, mm-hmm. but money's a big factor. We saw it with baseball. Just about every guy on there has made a ton of money, and they said, "All right, going into this year, I'm only going to get paid for the 60 games. I got to go through all this."
Don't you wonder about that a little bit?
Which part?
The part where he says, well, I would only get certain amount of money if my money's guaranteed. Because wouldn't you then think that guys that were making a ton of guaranteed money would go, I'm opting out till next year? Like a Russell Wilson, if he's going to get 30-plus million, and he...
Well, some of these guys, I mean, that's, again, if the season gets canceled. I think some of these guys are just hopeful that the season does play out. And if you still play the season, you're going to get your money.
I was just... I just got a text a minute ago. Said that after the Patriots cut the roster from 90 to 80, they reached out to everyone on the roster and said simply, do what's best for your family. And that, you know, what Tom Curran said to us yesterday was exactly right. The Patriots told the players, do what's best for your family. Whatever you think is best is fine, but please do it by Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then now
that.
We know who's going. So our right. six guys are saying that for whatever reason, family,
right.
money, whatever situation. Maybe some of them were even eyeing retirement anyway, like Marcus Cannon. Like, how many years did some of these guys have left? And they said, you know what? I'm going to choose.
And now Bill has a chance to figure out what he needs to do.
Well, now I've got a pretty good idea, and I haven't heard the answer yet, but what Patrick was asked also this morning on CBS this morning is, what was that conversation like that you had with Bill Belichick?
I mean, that's private, but he understood. I would say he understood. He understands there, you know, it's a serious pandemic, you know, going on. And then, you know, he totally got it. You know, Bill, you guys think Bill is like this drill sergeant, but he's actually a very caring person, you know, so he totally understood. And, you know, that was it. It was a short phone call.
Yeah, I would think Bill would
exactly
understand.
What we said.
He's always,
That report, what I was told was that the Patriots reached out to every one of the 80 guys on the roster, said, do what's best for you and your family, but please do it by Monday.
Yeah, and I think
they did.
And I think every coach, no matter what team you're on, GM, would understand it. Yeah, what it does, and I think that there might, if you don't have that guaranteed money, I think what you then put yourself in a position is, you know, you're now letting other guys potentially take your job away from you. We all remember the famous saying, and I believe it was the 2009 Belichick thing when he said, hey, when he told Wes Welker, he's like, you know who Wally Pipp was? And he was like, nah, I don't know, who the hell is that? You know?
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, there are going to be guys that opt out for whatever reason, but there are going to be guys that now look at it and go, here's my opportunity to take this job from somebody.
Oh, he's had to adjust, you know, his whole career. I mean, all coaches do, but mm-hmm. Bill's just done it for such a long time where, you know, Brady goes down in 08. It's not like the season's over. He's like, all right, let's go. Next guy up, we're gonna go. We're going to try to win. And that's why you have to build a deep roster. Now, you could question whether this team is really that deep or not, but that's what Bill's always kind of preached. Is like, you want to have each position group just have so much depth there that if a guy does go down, and think about all the injury guys they've taken chances on in their careers, like, they, you know, just in the draft alone, whether it's Gronk or Rozai Dowling. Like, those are two different extremes, but they've always taken guys kind of knowing, all right, well, as soon as he goes down, next man up. Yeah. As much as any team has ever been next man up, it's been the Patriots.
So let's get this out of the way, because there are a lot of these stories out there. And based on what I just said, the Patriots told the players, which is do what's best for your family, but just do it by Monday. Let's get this Colin Cowherd take out of the way, because sorry, Colin, we're not buying this one.
New England has sent a message to its troops. A, they weren't aggressive in free agency. Number two, they let marginally expensive players go. And number three is, didn't appear to have a big rush to replace the greatest quarterback of all time. And when they did acquire Cam, it was on a day that really bad news was going to be released by the NFL about the Patriots kind of, you know, cheating and stuff. Belichick wants one of the three great college quarterbacks. My scouts say all three of the quarterbacks coming out next year are A prospects.
Yikes.
Two of them, Trevor Lawrence and Trey Lance, may be A high A prospects. And if New England goes 5-11 or 6-10, there's only about four teams left that need a quarterback, they'll be there.
I love that.
I like hot takes. I mean, who doesn't like a good hot pipe and hot,
is he
hot
a coach
take or
a Keith
Spiercy? Sounds like he is in charge of one of the teams.
Well, he's got
scouts. His
scouts. AKA his producers.
His producers told him, hey, I like Trey Lance, just like our producers tell us to every day. Like,
and I love
thanks,
Trey Lance.
And how many people have really seen him play?
Not many.
Not even Shine.
Not too many.
He hasn't thrown a pick, though, so that's
okay.
Great.
They're like, who's Trey Lance? Wait, I thought it was the Justin Fields kid. What happened to him?
Like, he didn't mention him, but I guess he's the third guy that he didn't get to. But no, I don't.
To Wiggy's point earlier, if what Bill did was say it's between Stidham and Hoyer, one of those two guys is going to be my quarterback, and away we go, I might buy it. You wouldn't go get Cam Newton if you were tanking the season.
And he tries to brush the Cam Newton news under the rug because of two things. One, it happened late, and it also happened on the same day that Spygate 2's punishment came out. But the reality is they still have him. So regardless of when they got him,
or why, he
is going to be their starter week one. At least we all feel that he's going to be. So they don't have an unproven guy at quarterback or a complete unknown at quarterback. They have Cam Newton. They have the best quarterback in the division now. So this is a winner. This may not be a Super Bowl favorite like they have been so many times in the last 20 years, but it's still one of the, without a doubt, 10 best teams in football, maybe the third best team in the conference. So I don't think these guys, and when you look at the six guys that opted out, I don't think they're saying, oh man, if we were a little bit more competitive, then I'd be back. Like, no, I don't think so. And, oh, by the way, with Tom Brady last year, they lost in the wild card round.
Right.
So
yeah.
I don't think if Brady was back, they'd be opting in instead of opting out.
Yeah, and when you look at the guys and you think about, okay, the value to the team, they all have value to the team, but Hightower is probably your biggest loss, right?
Hightower, I think, is the best player in the league to
in the
opt
league
out.
So far. I agree.
There's a couple other guys like Eddie Goldman from the Bears is good. He's a good D tackle.
Marquise Goodwin's pretty good.
He's fast. I mean, you know, I guess Andre
he's not Dante Hightower. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. I mean, Hightower far and away.
Yeah.
I mean, really, when you look at it, and some of these other guys, a couple guys that are being added to the list, not taking away, their decision, but I think one of the guys is a practice squad guy, and so if he gets exempt, he's going to make close the similar money to play or to not play.
Right.
But yeah, far and away the best player is Hightower. The most guys are on the Patriots. But I think Bill will probably see this as an opportunity. Like, all right, thanks, guys. Thanks for your time. Thanks for the heads up.
Right.
Now let's sort of build towards this season with who we do have.
And out of those guys, the only one that you might have a chance to see him back next year is Dante Hightower.
Probably. Yeah.
Well, vying for the gold medal in the Hot Take Olympics with Colin Cowherd is Max Kellerman, who wonders whether these opt-outs are related to another departure.
I wonder, and I'm really like wondering aloud here, because obviously if Hightower has a baby at home and a mother with an underlying condition, of course you want to be as careful as possible. So I'm not doubting anyone's seriousness or sincerity about why they would opt out. But it is interesting to me that we're hearing about a lot of Patriots the year that Tom Brady won't be there, not only just the leadership and the continuity, but the expectations for the season. And I wonder if that is having any kind of an influence on people's decisions.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
Well, he is actually saying You know, he tries to couch it with the, you know, Hightower's having a baby and his mother. But you then, if you're thinking that the reason why he opted out is because Brady's not there?
Yeah, so if Brady was here, I think his family situation is the same.
Right.
Yeah. All these guys' family situations.
Patrick Chung would say, screw it. I'm going to play.
Marcus
so
Cannon
what?
Still had cancer back in college. Yeah. It's still the same thing. So, no, I think these guys, they opt out. I mean, look at the now, again, a little bit different situation because the guy's a doctor. But the guard for the Chiefs, the first guy to opt out, is on the best team and the team that's expected to win again. So
he's also a doctor, literally on the front lines fighting the pandemic.
Well, no, I know. I said that. So it's a little bit different, but at the same time, he's on the best team. Mm-hmm. And so if Kellerman's whole point is, if Brady's here, all Super Bowl contending teams are going to have perfect attendance, like, that's not true. Like, if you look at it, we've seen a Chiefs player opt out, Ravens, Seahawks, Cowboys, Washington. Who else was there? Dallas, Denver, Houston, New Orleans. Like, it's everybody. Tennessee, Chicago, Buffalo. It's plenty of different players from teams that have a good chance of winning to teams like the Jets who have probably no chance of winning. They're all covered.
It's all about what that player wants, right? And that player's decision. Because you talk about Hightower, he just had a baby, he decides to opt out. Russell Wilson just had a baby and he decides he wants to play.
I do think though, and we've had this debate, Wiggy, with Ken Laird in the morning. He was taking a bit of a victory lap yesterday on Twitter because his prediction a week ago was 30 big name players will opt out. You don't get credit for that because there are so many football players in the league that 30 is still, what's the percentage of 30 players opting out?
I did the math. If it was 32, it was 0.016.
Yeah, so you don't get credit for that. And again,
out of the 2,000 players.
You go through DeAnthony Thomas, for example, and not to pick through every single player, but you're putting him on this list. Again, Dante Hightower, to me, is probably the only one that would even pass the big name test.
He's a multi-time Pro Bowl, multi-time
playmaker,
Super Bowl champion.
Great player. DeAnthony Thomas, for example, he signed with the Ravens. The guarantee is $25,000.
Right.
So if he ends up getting the salary advance or whatever, he's going to get more money than what he would have gotten guaranteed for this year. There are some guys that I think maybe knew they weren't even going to make the roster, and they're on the list.
Well,
again,
remember
that's
I said
fine,
that.
But,
remember I said that, and I had questioned like some of these guys, like the kid Danny Vitale, and some of the where it goes. All right, if I can get into the high risk category, I can guarantee myself $350,000. Now my salary, if I make the team, is probably about $600,000, right? But
and that's if you make the team.
What's the chances I make the team?
Right. Well, Danny Vitale was going to make the team. He was going to be here.
I don't know.
I don't know that.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he will. And by the way, the other part of what I've just been told here is that all six guys had legit reasons for opting out.
And
all six.
No, I 100% believe that.
And the other part that the Patriots reportedly told the players was, we told you before, do what's best for your family. Just please do it by Monday. They were also told, quote, this is a life decision, not a football decision. Which means the Patriots were being good employers.
Yeah, but I think
No, I think they all will. But
and
I think
every professional team, no matter what sport it is, they go, we understand why you're doing it. And I don't think there's a sport out there from the WNBA to the Bundesliga where the team would go, what are you doing?
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with that. I just think, though, when you look at everybody, they all have a little bit of a different spot and where they're at, how much money they've made, how much money they were going to make, their chances of making the team. Like the Patriots won.
No, my point is, I don't think Danny Vitale was thinking, well, I can get 350. I was only going to make this. I don't think that was part of his decision making process.
No, for him, maybe not. But for DeAnthony Thomas, I bet it was. And for a few of these other guys,
well, for the kid,
one of the guys on the Cowboys, I probably definitely was.
What about the other kid on the Patriots, Najee Turin? Right?
Yeah, what do you think he would do?
I was told all six had legit reasons. It wasn't, hey, I can scam the system here and get some money out of it.
Yeah, but everybody probably has more than one reason for choosing not to play. And so I think that you could add it to the list. But it just goes back to my point. Like, we still haven't seen, like, a parade of Aaron Donald, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson. Like, all of those guys are playing.
If you're a young guy, right? If you're a guy and you look at it and you go, okay, you know, like, and you go, hey, I'm 26 years old. The likelihood that I can make this team and maybe make my salary, but if I can somehow, and the agent says, hey, listen, you know what? Who knows if the season's even going to finish?
Right. Right. That's a possibility.
So who knows if the season's even going to finish. Here's, you know what, maybe we can get you in the high-risk category. You get $350,000. You get that, and guess what? You're right back out there trying out. You're only 25, 26 years old. You know, like Danny Vitale, right? You played. People know who you are. Not saying that him in particular.
Right.
But maybe that might be the mindset. And there would be some agents out there and would be some players out there that go, you know what, if I can get into that high-risk category, I can get to 350.
Yeah,
what are the chances that if you opt out, that the NFL is going to turn you down for being in the high-risk category if they have a number of specific...
Yeah, depending on what got agreed to on that, right? Because we saw what was presented. Like, hey, these are all the ones that should be considered at risk. I don't know if they all got accepted.
Do we know what the high-risk categories are for the NFL?
Well, no. I know what the players were trying to present to the league. I don't know what officially got signed off on, though. I don't know if that's out there yet. Because what was being suggested covered just about everybody. Everybody would have been able to get in on it. So I don't know.
Well, the bottom line here is the six opt-outs that you had yesterday from the Patriots are all the opt-outs.
Yeah, now, that's what it seems like.
You may, and we don't have any of the test results back in. The Patriots don't either. You may have guys who test positive. In fact, chances are you will have somebody who tests positive at some point or another. Every team might have one or two or whatever. I mean, you got 80 guys. Mathematically, the chances are you'll get somebody. But you won't have anybody who will opt out, apparently.
So here's the high-risk categories.
Is this what they agreed to?
This looks like the memo list of 15 conditions that qualify as long players have diagnosed one of these medical records prior to the NFL and NFLPA agreement. So high-risk categories would include...
Did you say prior to the agreement?
No. The memo.
Okay.
This was just from a couple of days ago ESPN,
okay.
Right?
Okay. Yep.
And so the memo, this is the agreement, it looks like. The high-risk categories are cancer, chronic kidney disease, COPD, weakened immune system from solid organ transplant, serious heart conditions such as heart failure, coronary artery disease or chiropractic myotypus? I don't even know what that one is. Sickle cell disease, type 2 diabetics, asthma.
Oh, okay.
Right?
That opens it up.
Cerebrovascular disease. I don't even know how to say that one.
Put that in the vault.
Yeah, put that one in there. There's a number of things here that you can look at. Maybe, you know, high blood pressure.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a good chance
I have high blood pressure.
So you get your 350 then.
Right. So there's a chance that some of these guys would be able to get into that 350 range.
I'm sure for all of these guys, health and family health was on the list.
Right. I don't think that was what they were. Hey, let's see if we can get the 350. You want money.
But I
bet it is, though. For something like one of these guys, again, you can't say they're all the same. So you have to take each guy individually.
Right.
There's a 27-year-old guy, one of the most recent guys to opt out, Jason Vanderland, is a tight end for the Saints who is expected to battle for a special teams job.
Right.
So, like, again, he could be facing health things that I don't know about, or he's looking at, like, hey, realistically, let's just
I was
do this.
An undrafted rookie free agent, right?
And so if your first year, this came up.
If this is your first year and it comes up and you're like, all right, it's an uphill battle for you to even make the practice squad.
Yeah.
And your agent
says... And how much money do you get from the practice squad?
Right. And, it's not a ton of money. Your agent says to you, hey, listen, you know what? It might be hard for you to make the team. If you opt out, you're only going to get, if you're in the low risk, it's $150. But, you know, you might be able to get into that high risk category. You can guarantee yourself $350,000 for that year. Continue to train, continue to work out, and you'll be right back in the pool next year for that upcoming season. You won't have to miss any money, because if you don't opt out and you get cut,
then what?
Now what? Now you get screwed. Now you don't even get the 150.
Well, because there's a lot of guys right now, they're going into camp. Only 53 are going
to
make it.
And if the roster went from 90 to 80 in some cases, think about all these undrafted guys.
Right, that aren't getting a chance.
Yeah, or all these guys that might have been seventh round picks a year or two ago that go, you know what, the likelihood of me making a team, it's even harder, because some teams have said, you know what, we're not taking 90 men to practice. We're only taking 80. And then the practice is all screwed up. There's no preseason games. So how am I really going to show out in some of these games to show these coaches that I deserve to make a team? So to think that there are not a large group of players going, I might as well take this 350. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, I would say you'd be kind of naive to think that there's not guys opting out.
I think there's not a large group. I think there are guys who are, absolutely. I don't think it's as large as you do.
No. See, I think it's smaller.
But is it fair to say that for the average NFL fan, more guys that have opted out, they have not heard of than guys they have
yes.
heard
sure,
of?
Yes. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Including on the Patriots, for crying out loud.
Sure.
Najee Turan, Dan Vitale.
But that's the thing. Right. So when you go through the list, and I'm not taking anything away from these players, but when you go through the list.
No, I don't fault any of the guys, right? No, not anybody does.
But when you start to go through the names and you start to go, wait a second, you don't think that there's a, you know, probably 40% of those guys on that are going, hey, I can get 350?
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
I'm going to opt out.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Still to come, Pandering Man will make an appearance at 1:30 today.
Ooh.
There is a new episode of the Cam Chronicles out, which means basically Cecil, because he's the star of the Cam Chronicles, despite the name. We'll give you some of the highlights when we come back. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, and it's time to trend.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
Fran met Cam and Cecil in nearby Houston in January 2009. Cecil did the talking.
I didn't want the burden of this transition to get the best of him psychologically into where he was really beating himself up. I said, bro, this is a business trip. This is a 12-month business trip. Buy in. Do your job. Go to class. Pass in your work. Stay out of trouble. You imagine psychologically what goes through your head? He was broken. Leaving Florida, he's broken.
Rich, I'm not quite sure why they don't call these the Cecil Chronicles.
Cecil's a big part. I'll tell you what. That was all he had to say, though, yeah, in the third episode.
It was more
episode.
About the coach.
Yeah, Cecil dominated the first two, but this was highlighting Blynn. So the first episode was sort of his episode, you know, him growing up in Atlanta, you know, a lot with his dad, obviously. Second episode was about Florida, him being a backup to Tebow, him stealing the laptop, him ultimately leaving Florida.
Yeah, what's the big deal? I'd have paid for it.
And Urban Meyer saying, you know, maybe you should change positions. That was kind of how that one ended. So yeah. Cecil picks up the phone, calls Blynn, a junior college in Texas, and is like, you know, I want my son to go there. And so this is highlighted by the Blynn College football coach and the kid who thought was going to be the quarterback. I think it was Sean Rutherford was his name. He was a freshman the year before, their starter leaves, so he's going into his sophomore year at Blynn, thinking he's going to be the starting quarterback, and then Cam Newton transfers in from the SEC, wins the job, but this kid actually ended up really liking him, and I think they moved him to wideout and stuff. Obviously, he was pretty athletic, and he was Cam's backup for that year, but no hard feelings. They became friends, and some of the takeaways I had from this episode were, one, I know it's junior college, but it's kind of funny that the same situation where Cam joins a team where the quarterback had been there 1 year before,
right,
thinking that he was going to be the starter, and then Cam goes in there and beats him out for it, which I anticipate happening here.
Sort of like Jarrett Stidham here, right?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. And also, talking about what a kid Cam Newton is, now he was a kid then, but he's like, that whole time they knew him, like, he is such a showboat on the field, but everybody just follows him. Like, whatever he's doing, like, he's got this big personality.
It's like a jokester, prankster.
Jokester,
he's
but also a hard worker. Like, this kid also said nobody works harder than Cam. Like, everybody sees him celebrating on the field, and, you know, he's got his big smile, but nobody puts in the
smile is real, he said, too.
And it's real. Like, it's not fake at all, right, which is another thing that he was saying about Cam. So I thought it was pretty interesting. And the coach, part of what the coach would do, it was every day, he would meet just with Cam and teach him about leadership.
Right.
He was like, when Cam got here, he was obviously this incredible athlete. He was the biggest kid. There's a great story about him winning a strength battle with an offensive lineman who was like 400 pounds. And yet he wasn't a leader. He was like, you could tell he was a star, but that leadership was missing. And every day he would work with him just about leadership stuff.
Right.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Let's start with that, to the time when Cam challenged an offensive lineman to a tug of war.
Cam ended up calling the old lineman out. It wasn't, they just ended up matching up. Cam called him out.
I remember Andre grabbing the tire and standing up, and I remember looking over at Cam's team. And Cam turned around and looked at his team and turned back around. And I remember thinking, there's no way I can let this kid pull against this offensive tackle. God, if he gets hurt, I am in so much trouble. This is not a good idea.
Cam and Andre take their places and look at each other in the eye. They start pulling. And it looks like Cam is winning.
And I'll be danged if he doesn't pull that offensive tackle 5 yards across the stripe. Are you kidding me? Did he just, like, I remember everybody on the team being like, whoa.
I'm going to guess that the JUCO offensive lineman wasn't a lot bigger than Cam Newton anyway.
So he was. Well, yeah, he was 6'8", 400. He was a transfer from Texas.
Yeah, called him the Predator.
Called him the Predator. So he was enormous. Maybe
somebody
not that strong.
Posted a video in the last couple of
definitely
days.
Definitely not that strong.
Of that, you know, two guys holding a tire thing. It wasn't Cam, but somebody posted a video of that sort of drill. I mean, it just looks like it would wear you out, doesn't it?
Yeah, I never did the tire drill.
Yeah, that's new. That's the new school.
Yeah, I didn't do that. But they also talk about, you know, what a shock it is. And if you ever watched Last Chance U.
Oh, they got a new season just came out.
Do they do? Okay, yeah. So Last Chance U gives you a good idea of what these junior college kids kind of go through.
Oh, man,
and what
bad.
It's like. And they all start, not all of them, but the ones they focus on are at Florida State. They're at Clemson. They get kicked out for whatever reason, or it doesn't work. So then they go here. And so that's what happened to Cam. Cam was at Florida for 2 years, which is the top-notch facilities across the board.
Right.
To the next year, literally having to practice on a farm. They had to move from their field one day because it was so wet. They went to another field and they were doing
it was raining.
It was raining. So they
couldn't, and they usually practiced indoors at the gym, but when they didn't, they had to go inside a barn and practice, if that's the part you're talking about.
Yeah, they're doing the rolls next to like cow manure and everything. Pigs are walking around and you're like, that's what they're going to. And so Cecil was actually right though, talking about how it was a business trip. Mm-hmm. You have to go there, and that's what all these kids are told. And some of them, it works out. Junior college, LeGarrette Blount was an example.
Yep.
He was a guy that went junior college route, then got his head back on straight, then he punched that kid out. But
well,
whatever.
But if you do watch Last Chance U, it does really, really give you a look into the thing that I really stood out for me is the mindset of the athlete that has to deal with it just being going from being the guy. And they talked about this on the Camp Chronicles, how the dad was like, I want you to humble him, right? You go from being a guy and having these great facilities to now you get to, you know, especially it seems like in this situation, this blend JUCO wasn't as nice as some of these other JUCOs, like it was on the bottom of it.
Oh, yeah, they're not great facilities.
And now you have to humble yourself.
Yeah.
And nothing's handed to you. You want
it. You don't take it for granted.
Right. The coach, remember the coach talked about, well, if you wanted armbands and this, that, and the other.
You
got
to pay for them.
You got to pay for them yourself. Yeah. We'll give you a pair of cleats and a pair of socks.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear the story about the unusual place where they ended up having to practice.
We literally practiced in the barn with the cows, poor shit on the ground, pigs running around. Like I'm saying, like some ultimate JUCO stuff. We had teammates having to literally do their pirate role next to cow shit. The pigs and all that.
I see. So when I think about Cam coming to the Patriots, right, you start to think like this guy, you everybody thinks, all right, everything was handed to him. But then we find out because when you come here, nothing's handed to you.
No,
right?
And if you do the junior college route, I think that's the one thing that, you know, at Florida, even when he was the backup, he still hadn't failed. You know, he was this great high school player, goes to a great college, is good when he gets the opportunity, then he gets hurt. But then once he got out of there and Urban Meyer trash talked him and everything else, I think he was super motivated. And from that point on, you know, wins the JUCO title at Blinn, goes to Auburn, wins the Heisman, wins the title there, and is the number one pick. So the last time he faced any kind of adversity, he followed that up unbelievably. And now he's got adversity now. He's coming off of that now after every team in the league didn't want him, including the team that drafted him. I also I thought it was interesting too when he was talking. His coach was talking to him about like sort of those leadership lessons and things like that. And he's like, Cam would always ask, "What's the point of this?
Right.
Why are you teaching me this?" And if Cam didn't like the answer, he was like, "Eh." But if he liked the answer, no matter what it was, he was on board with it. Which to me speaks pretty highly of or the chances of it working with Belichick. Because something tells me when Belichick says for Cam to do something or for the offense to do something, and he says, "Well, why are we doing it this way?" Belichick's going to have an answer.
Right.
And as long as he said every time he had an answer that Cam was on board with, he did it. No questions asked.
And the thing that Cam might not say, what are we doing this for? Because the one thing that you got from listening to that coach he talked, he goes, all right, I can't really now just BS my players. I got to be just as prepared as they are. And the one thing that makes Bill the greatest coach of all time is the fact that he's always prepared, right? So now Cam's coming into a situation where he doesn't need to ask a coach, hey, why are we doing this? Because he's able to see wow, this coach, here's why we're doing everything. I don't need to ask. And the other thing that we learned about Cam is that he's extremely intelligent when it comes to football because he was putting hours upon hours watching film.
Right. And the other kid had already been there all year, and mm-hmm. he goes in there and he beats him out. So it's not like he couldn't learn the playbook or it's right. not like anything like that. One of the questions I guess I would have, and again, he was 19, so things could certainly change. But the story he tells about when they lost, he got kind of hurt in the game, they lost. And then all of a sudden, for like a little while, he wasn't the same guy.
In the weight room, yeah.
In the weight room, like he was kind of just kind of, he wasn't that huge personality.
And that bled off.
And you're like, man, after one loss, you can't be down in the dumps like that.
And the other thing that was, when I heard that, the other thing that you really see with his personality, he's infectious because then the kid talks about everybody else started to get down because they saw Cam down.
Like, yeah, I can't do that. No. Like, so that was a little concerning.
But that could have been, at that point, 19 years old, you don't really know how to deal with, all right, tough loss, you know, let me go through the emotions. But then
and it was words from his mother who actually snapped him out of it, not his father.
Seems like his mom snapped him into a few things. She got him dressing like that.
What did you guys think of the worst game that he played at Blinn was the one game that he knew his dad was at?
Yeah, that was interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
That was very interesting.
Now, it was also his first game. So, because his dad, Cecil, you would think would have been at all the games, was only at two. He was at his first game where Cam was horrible in the first half. Then his coach told him to have fun. And then he went out there and they won the game, but it was his worst game.
He's got to preach on Sunday morning.
And that's true. And then the coach brought him to the championship game, but he hit him. So Cam didn't even know he was there. Right. So the one time he knew he was there, he didn't play very well.
That, I am Cam.
That was interesting to me, you know, because then the coach talks about then after that he was on fire and his dad was never at the games.
Right.
But I can't really – I feel like his dad, when he says he made Cam, it's true. You know, what he was able to do for Cam and basically instilled a lot of what Cam probably thinks about and is because of why his father was. So I was going to go like, really? Was it one of those relationships? But I just think that Cam has I don't know if he does. Seems like he has a good relationship with his dad. And his dad was a big part of.
I built Cam.
I mean, I believe that for him.
I mean,
just some additional information on Cam, courtesy of Mike Giardi in the last couple of minutes on Twitter. He tweeted, did some digging on Cam Newton. Those who have worked out with him or have watched the workouts say he has been spinning it and the arm is lively. Now, you know how I feel about these workouts, but guys I trust weren't like, yeah, he's got issues. My other question on Newton was his weight. Remember, he was somewhere between 255 and 265 in his MVP year. There are some that feel like he's dropped a decent amount of that mass. Will that impact his power running? But I guess we won't know for a bit.
Nah, he actually looks like he probably could be about 240 shredded up.
He's all muscle now.
Yeah, he's all.
And that's his point. He's lost some of the mass.
Right, but I think it's very similar to Gronk. Like, we don't need you to run people over. Use that new
ball. I think you want Cam to run people over
a lot of times. Not really. Like, once he gets 10, 12, 15 yards, you really want him lowering his shoulder?
I'm thinking more goal line stuff.
Okay, how many times do we need you to be a
every
little
every time you're on the goal line you never get anybody who can run in.
Sonny Michel can't do it.
No, but how many times does that happen in a game, right?
Oh,
where we need it's not like if I need you to be aggressive and run people over, do it at the goal line because I know that might only be, you know, 2-3 times a game.
I need like 8 touchdowns out of them on the ground.
Right. So maybe that's 2-3 times a game where I don't need you to run people over. In the same way with Gronk, when you got this new body frame, is when you've gained 15 yards or 10 yards or 8 yards. Now you could just slide.
Mm-hmm. Our buddy Kendrick Perkins is clapping back at Sweet Lou Williams.
Oh, boy.
There's a lot of beefing going on there, man.
We'll let you hear that when we come back. Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Now back to Dale and Keefe.
I'll let this cat out of the bag on WEEI.
Listen, I'm a big guy. I love to eat. I done been to Magic City. The wings are fire. But in this case, in all seriousness, come on, Lou Will, you got to do better, man. And on another note, it just adds another distraction for the Clippers. They should only be worried about, you know, playing basketball, you know, promoting, you know, making sure they bring awareness to social justice. But now they got to talk about Magic City and Lou Will and chicken wings. It's just not fair, and it was very irresponsible on Lou Will's part.
So that was our buddy Kendrick Perkins going after Lou Williams when what we found out was that Lou was subject to a 10-day quarantine by the NBA because after he went home to Atlanta for his grandfather's funeral, and then after the funeral, he went to Magic City to pick up a passel of wings before he...
Those wings are fire.
I understand. That's what Kendrick said, too.
They're named after him, for God's sakes.
I still can't believe they're tripping that he went to Magic City. It's like any restaurant.
Well, but the NBA then said, no, you got to quarantine for 10 days, and he misses two games.
Yeah, that's not good.
But you got to eat, though.
He got the excused absence, but then he got the unexcused absence. You can't have somebody go get the wings for you?
Yes. You're Lou Williams. True. I'm sure you can. So Perk then put out a tweet, and he said, it's disturbing when a rookie in Zion Williamson can act more mature than NBA vet Lou Williams.
Oh, boy.
So Perk
is always starting stuff on Twitter.
Right, not going to let it go.
Yeah, people be coming for him. Yeah, KD had issues with him.
Yeah, he did.
So Lou Williams tweeted back. He linked to Perk's tweet, and Lou Williams wrote, quote, 15 years in this business, and the most dirt you have on my name is stopping to get hot wings during a pandemic.
Oof.
Perk, shut up.
Okay.
Whoa.
And stop laughing and saying it's just TV when you run into me, too.
Ooh. Ooh.
So what he's saying basically
is
he does not believe that Perk is being completely fair. So you just knew that when Perk went on Get Up, they were going to read him that tweet and he would respond.
Oh, boy.
Hey, listen, first of all, guys are basketball players, right, Greeny? Guys are not fighters. Guys are not boxers or whatever the case may be. They ain't gonna bust a grape in a fruit fight and pour milk on cereal. Ooh. All right, let's get that clear. Second of all, guys have to realize that I have a job. All right, I have a job to do. And I'm not gonna sit up here and be biased. I didn't actually kill Lou Will yesterday, by the way. I just stated my opinion. A question was asked to me, and I told you how I felt, Greeny, and I still stand by that today. So whether, you know, he agreed with it or not, I'm not taking it back. I wish him a speedy recovery, but at the end of the day, I'm not worried. You know what made my day besides being on your show yesterday in First Take?
Tell me.
The great Magic Johnson gave me a great shout out on a jump yesterday. He gave me a hell of a shout out, and I wanted to tell the great Magic Johnson, the all-time great, I appreciate it, and that meant the world to me, because if he approved of what I'm doing sitting right here in this chair and speaking about basketball, one of the all-time, the greatest point guard to ever play the game, then I must be doing something right, Greeny.
And the best analyst of all time.
That's it. Oh, that Magic too, Johnson. Yeah, hard to argue.
hey, sometimes they be blown outs.
Whose side are you on? Perk or Lou Will?
I think
you gotta pick a side.
I would go with Perk, right? Because I mean, Perk's doing his job. He didn't really say anything. He's just saying, dude, you got to be more mature.
Be mature, you know. Don't be doing that. Don't get quarantined for 10 days because you were hungry.
Because Lou Williams is trying to say, hey, 15 years, and this is the only thing I did. It's like, well, yeah, that's all we're worried about right now. We're not talking about your history, even if you were a guy that was in trouble all the time.
I don't think he ever knocked him.
No.
David Pasternak got quarantined for 14 days because he did something stupid. Right. Wasn't bad. He wasn't, you know, he went to a rink and got some ice in when he wasn't supposed to.
I mean, I guess I get Perk's point. Like, if Zion Williamson messed up or if some of these young guys that have left the bubble messed up, not that it's acceptable, but it's more likely you feel like in your mind than if Lou Williams did it. And so when Lou Williams did it,
I don't go on that though. Because
you
know,
can't you be more mature?
I don't go on that because once you're like 18, 19, 20 years old, you're mature enough to know.
Yeah, see, I would expect those guys to make more mistakes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I understand.
I know I did.
I understand.
I would expect Lou Williams, who's been, as he said, 15 years in the league, to not make that mistake.
I understand the mistakes, but there are just certain things that, come on, you know. You know, like, all right, the light is red, and that doesn't mean go through it. I don't care if you're 19 or 35. You should know, like, certain things, right? You can't go and grab wings at a strip club, and because the optics of people are going to look at that, they're going to look at their crazy, even though it's no different than going to Wingstop and grabbing some wings.
Lemon pepper aroma.
People won't trip over that, Lou, but you know the optics on it. Even if you went in with your mask on, grabbed your wings, and got out, no big harm, right? That's probably not a big deal because they wouldn't have tripped if it was Wingstop, but because it's the strip club, they're going to think,
which was the center of the Marlins outbreak.
Apparently,
maybe,
yeah.
Allegedly. Montrezl Harrell came to Lou Williams' defense. He said, Big Perk, what you're not going to do is talk wild to the OG when you don't got all the facts. I don't know if he doesn't have all the facts necessarily, but he was
not sure. Montrezl Harrell has them all either.
I don't know. He left the bubble too. I don't know if he's back in there yet.
Well, the only facts, the only thing that you can say is that Lou Williams said, "Hey, listen, I just went in there, grabbed some wings, and got the hell out."
That's what he's saying,
right?
My own personal wings.
So Kevin O'Connor on The Ringer has been ranking his NBA playoff contenders. And today was part three of that ranking, which is, as he says, the title contenders. And when he talks about the LA Clippers, he's got them listed as two, he said, but really, they should be 1B. They shouldn't be two, they should be 1B, but you know, you got to list them one. So the Clippers have got a legit shot at winning this whole thing. Mm-hmm. So don't do anything that could trip things up, right?
Yeah, especially when you know that their optics man is going to rear his ugly head. You can't do anything. Just, you know what? Like you said, Rich, send somebody else to get you Lou Williams on Lemon Pepper.
It is. It's true. I mean, it's the same thing with Pasternak and Kasha. You would expect the guys that are on the best teams to not be a problem.
Don't do something dumb.
It's the guys that have no chance that you're like, what's the, like, why am I super committed to this?
Like the Miami Marlins.
Yeah, you could sort of see it. Now, I didn't think it would happen so soon, but you could still see why it would maybe happen.
Went to a rink in Malden, and you know, he wanted to get on the ice. He wanted to work out, and, you know.
So was he out there just playing with
just playing with
a bunch of wristers?
He could have came to Hockey Town and played with me, Fuji, and the boys.
Would have been a ringer for you guys.
And he wouldn't even know about Hockey Town. He wouldn't even got
Corona.
No, and so it's not like they did anything malicious, but it's like you can't do it.
Right.
The optics are gonna be bad.
They're gonna be bad on anything that looks, you know, anything that looks crazy, right? Because I said if Lou Williams goes in a Wingstop, picks up some wings in Atlanta, it's not an issue, right? Because it's a restaurant where you just went in, you had your mask on, and you grabbed your wings.
Yeah, probably not, because when these guys get excused absences, they have to eat, and I don't know what all the rules are about where they can eat, how they can eat, whatever else, but this was right.
Right. You go to a strip club, even though I know they got your Lou Williams lemon pepper.
They got the Lou Will lemon peppers.
You want them bad enough,
I know.
Send your boy in.
Mm-hmm. So back to the Kevin O'Connor Ringer rankings here. He's got the Lakers as the favorite to win the NBA title, and
I agree with him.
He's got the Clippers two, but he said they should really be 1B. You know, that there's not much to tell between them.
I don't know about that. LeBron is in beast mode.
The Clippers are better. Clippers are deeper.
They're deeper. I'll give you that.
He's then got the Bucks at number three and your Boston Celtics at number four.
I'd say the Bucks at
three. It's not crazy, when you put that. I think because the two LA teams, that's why I'm surprised to get them 1-2, because obviously they're going to have to play each other in the conference finals in all likelihood. There's also on the Ringer, there's an odds. They came up with all the odds, and they have their whole little metric for it or whatever else. And the percent chance of winning the title, this guy has the Bucks at 56%, which is insanely high to me. He then has the Lakers at 15, the Clippers at 10, the Raptors at 7, and the Celtics at 5. So if you look at those two, both Kevin O'Connor and then this guy was a Zach Bram or whatever it was. The Celtics have, I think, it's fair to say they have a top 4 or 5 chance of winning, because after Lakers-Clippers, is there anybody in the West that you would really feel confident in picking? I wouldn't. I'd be shocked if it wasn't one of those two teams outside of coronavirus getting in there and sidelining guys. It's going to be one of those two.
Right, because the third best team in
Dallas,
the West,
maybe, or Denver
right.
or Houston.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I'm not really concerned with that. The issue I have with the Celtics is Kemba Walker's health.
Yep, Kemba's knee.
Because if Kemba's
and
not...
And Kevin O'Connor writes about that as well and says, yeah, obviously, he's their best player. That's the guy that makes the difference.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's their best player.
He's not their best player, but if he's not 100%, he's your other superstar.
Yeah.
Would you say that?
He and Tatum are their two dudes.
Yeah.
And then
Tatum's probably your best player.
Yes.
But Kemba's your second best superstar. And without Kemba Walker, I don't think Jaylen Brown has taken that step yet, and Gordon Hayward's not there.
No. Brown has his moments, but you need Kemba. Kemba and Tatum have to be the two go-to scorers.
No Kemba, you can get beat by Toronto. You can get beat by Philly. You can get beat by Miami.
Yeah.
By the way, the stat that O'Connor had, the five best players on the Celtics, Tatum, Brown, Hayward, Smart, and Kemba Walker. Do you know how many games they've played together this whole year? 14.
Wow.
That's it.
Mm.
So
that means nothing, though. Think about it, because they took so much time off.
His point is, as good as they were,
right,
you only got to see those guys, you know, together 14 times.
So is there a chance that they play more games together in the bubble than they did out of the bubble?
Well, you got to you got to treat the bubble as a new season. Everything,
it kind of is. I'm with you on that.
Everything that they did prior to them, you know, prior to them being in the bubble, that's a lifetime ago. That might as well have been last year, right?
It is like a restart of a season.
Yeah, so this is a new season, so it's going to be about which teams come out hot, which players, you know, they're feeling it. They're in that, like, zone where it was an NBA Jam where he's on fire.
That's right.
You know, and that's the thing I think you have to look at going into these eight games that you're going to see them play. Is which teams, hey, they look like, hey, LeBron looks like.
Yeah, who takes to it quicker? Like,
right.
And then for a team like the Celtics that shoots so many threes, are they locked in or are they still really rusty?
Right.
And then that's why it's gonna feel like a while to get to the playoffs, but the eight, they just had these the scrimmages, and now you're going to have eight games that don't matter for the Celtics. They could go 0-8 and they're still in there. There's no home court advantage on the line, and you can only manipulate who you play in the first round so much because it's also up to them, you know, whether you get Indiana or Philly or Miami or whoever you face in the first round is kind of out of your control. So you just got to get those games and try to get right, try to get your shot back and everything else in those next eight games.
I almost feel like it's the winner of the West and the Clippers-Lakers. Whichever one of those teams come out of the West.
That's the favorite.
Yeah, they're going to win that series, you know, 4-1, 4-2. It'll be pretty easy whoever they play. Because those teams, they got the best players. The way that LeBron is, you know, and I've only seen a little bit of it, but it seems like he hasn't lost a step.
No, he seems to look pretty good.
He looks really good. Yeah,
tonight, we'll find out who is the best player in the NFL. On the NFL Network, they will give you the final countdown from 10 to 1. We're down
really
to the final 10.
Do we really need to know that, Dale, number one? I mean, it's pretty obvious.
I got an idea. But the Patriots have one of the top 10 players in the league. We'll tell you who those 10 are when we come back. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.